you have your Bibles this morning, I would like to ask you to please turn to the book of Genesis. I would like to read from Genesis chapter 1. I encourage you to look at God's holy word as we try to read and study. I would ask that you right now to please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have to come before Thy throne of grace. Because we need grace and we need mercy every day of our lives. We know if it weren't for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, being our mediator, we know we could never even approach Thy throne. And we pray that You would help us to realize what a great privilege it is to call upon the one true and living God. The privilege of knowing that You're not only our God, but that Thou art our Father. Thou hast loved us with an everlasting love. And we thank You, Lord, for sending Thine only begotten Son into the earth to save us from our sins. We're thankful that we thank You, Jesus, for coming. We thank You for being our elder brother. We thank You for being the King of kings and Lord of lords. Thank You for being our Savior. Thank You for being all the world to us. We're thankful that when we have troubles and problems, we're thankful that we have the privilege to be able to come to Thee and ask Thee for help. And we know that Thou hast known from even before the foundation of the world every problem we would ever have. And there are hearts this morning that are heavy and sad, and we pray that You would comfort them and lift them up as Thou alone art able to do. We know that You're able to give peace and comfort and joy, that Your Holy Spirit can fill our hearts in time of sorrow, and that You can lift us up and we can think about and rejoice in the great blessings that we have, the things You've blessed us to be able to enjoy in the past, and knowing that there are great, marvelous, wonderful things that we're going to experience in the future, that one day we're going to be taken home to be with Thee, to be conformed to the image of the Son of God, to be made absolutely perfect, to be able to give Thee the praise, honor, and glory that's due Thy great and holy name. Lord, we look forward to that time that we shall see Thee face to face because of Your amazing grace. But we're also thankful that while we live here in this world, that Thou hast not left us alone. We're thankful that we have the privilege to be a part of Thy church. Thank You for giving us Thy holy word. Thank You for blessing us to know how to conduct ourselves in Thy house. And we pray that You would help us to read and study the Word of God so we can know the truth, understand the truth, teach and preach, and walk in the truth. Help us to walk as children of light to Thy name's honor and glory. We do beg Thy blessings upon all those who are sick. We know that You're the great physician, that You can touch and heal. We ask You to bring those that are unrepentant and unconvicted. We ask You to bring them to their knees and cause great repentance and changes in their lives. Help all of us here this morning to be converted and to be changed every day. Forgive us of our many sins. Be merciful and gracious in all Thy dealings with us. And help us as Thou alone are able to do in this hour. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I would like to read from Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. The main thought that's on my heart this morning before I read this verse of Scripture, the main thought, the main concern that I have is that everybody here should be able to take God's Word and show people the importance of human life. And especially the thought that's on my heart is the sin of abortion that is plaguing our nation. Over 40 million babies have been killed. Every day. You know, I'm concerned about the war in Iraq, and my heart goes out to the families that have lost soldiers in Iraq. But did you know that from the beginning of the war in Iraq until today, that there have not been as many men killed in that war in Iraq, there have not been as many Americans killed in that war as there were yesterday in the United States of America? There were more babies killed yesterday. One day, every day, more babies are killed in America than have been killed in the entire time that we've been in the Iraq war. God will not hold a nation blameless that sheds innocent blood. That's taught repeatedly in the Word of God. Innocent blood. Children, little unborn children that are being slaughtered. They're being killed. Many times the mothers just don't realize what they're doing. And I pray this morning that as we look at the Word of God, I pray that you'll be able to take the Word of God and show people from God's Word why life is so important, why human life is so important, and why the lives of these unborn children are so important. Read now from Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. In this one verse of Scripture, let me just say this. In this one verse of Scripture, there are three reasons that God shows us in His Word, there are three reasons that human life is so important. Let's listen now to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. The Word of God says, "And God said, let us..." Who is the us there? That's the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Right now, in this chapter, chapter 1 of the Bible, the first chapter of the Bible, the Word of God describes the creation of this world. And let me just pause here and say that the theory of evolution is not just a theory, it's a lie from the devil. We did not come from one celled, we did not evolve into being human beings. We didn't come from animals. We didn't start out as something else and then finally become human beings. Let me ask you this question. As you look at Genesis chapter 1 and you think about the creation of this world, what day was life created? What day was life created? Somebody tell me. You. Okay, that's it, Brother Jerry. The first life that was created was on the third day when the plants began to be formed. That's the beginning of life. The creation of life was on day three when God began to form the plants. And then on four, He created the sun and the moon and the stars. Day five, He created the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea. On day six, He began to create the animals and all the things that are there. And then on the sixth day, the final thing He created was what? Was man. Man. He created man. And I want you to see and understand that in Genesis 1, verse 26, and also Genesis chapter 2, that the Word of God gives us three specific reasons that human life is more important than plant life. Did you know there are some people in America that love plants more than they love humans? Did you know that? You've heard about tree huggers? Well, there's a lot of people that are really messed up in their minds, and they think plants and plant life is the same as human life. Did you know that? There are people that think that animals are just as important as humans. They're not. The Word of God declares that they're not. The Word of God makes it clear that they're not. Animals are not as important as humans. We have, you see bumper stickers around. Save the what? Name something you've seen that says, save the what?
Whale.
Save the whale. But there are a lot of others. They'll say, save the dolphin, save the tuna, save the, there are all kinds of things. And people will give their lives and everything they have to save animals and to save trees. They'll tie themselves to trees and chain themselves to trees to keep somebody from cutting a tree down. Let me tell you something, brethren. Human life is not as important in America as far as our government and the people in America are concerned. Human life takes less precedence. It's less important than all these other lives that we've been talking about. And that's opposite from what God's Word says. Why is human life more important than plant life and animal life and fish and fowls? Why is human life more important? Genesis 1:26 tells us two reasons. Let me mention those two and then we'll go to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis 1, verse 26 says, "And God said, let us make man," what? "In our image." Let us make man in our image. Were plants made in the image of God? Were fish and fowl and animals, were they made in the image of God? No. But man, and this is the only thing that was created by God, but man was made in the image of God. Now that's a reason right there that man and human life is more important than animal life. One of the reasons is because man is made in the image of God. God said, let us make man in our image. You are made in the image of God. I'm not going to go in and try to explain all of that. I just want you to remember, you're different than the plants and animals of this world. Human life is much different. Man is made in the image of God. In fact, that's the reason that God's Word teaches capital punishment. By capital punishment, we're talking about putting people to death when they murder someone else. That's taught in God's Word. That when somebody murders, and brethren, if you don't know the difference in murder, you know, people will take Exodus chapter 20. One of the Ten Commandments says, thou shalt not what? Thou shalt not kill. And did you know there are people so ignorant of God's Word and the truth, and so ignorant of the teachings of the Scriptures, that when somebody's being put to death because they murdered someone, which is what God's Word says to do, they'll take Exodus chapter 20 and hold up signs outside of the execution chamber saying, thou shalt not what? Thou shalt not kill. And what are they trying to do? They're trying to save the murderer. But God says, put the murderer to death. There's a difference in killing and murdering. Killing and murdering is one thing. Executing judgment on those that have been killing and murdering is something totally different. Genesis chapter 1 says, that man is made in the image of God. These little babies that are in the mother's womb, they're made in the image of God. Let me mention something else. Since we mentioned capital punishment, I need to at least go to Genesis chapter 9. I want you to notice in Genesis chapter 9, verse 6. Please turn in your Bibles, Genesis chapter 9 and verse 6. And if you want to study or talk about and look at God's Word further on the subject of capital punishment, I'd be glad for us to do that. But do you know why a man should be put to death when he kills another human being, when he murders another human being? Do you know why he should be put to death? It's because of what I've just said is the difference in man and animal life. If you kill a cow, should you be put to death? Does the Word of God call for that? No. It doesn't matter if you have a cow that's a precious cow. If I kill your cow or your sheep or your dog, God's Word does not call for me to be put to death for that. Now I need to pay restitution and make that right. God's Word calls for that. But I'm not to be put to death for killing your dog or cat or cow. Listen, brethren, if I kill your child or your mother or your father, I should be put to death for that. That's what God's Word called for. Genesis chapter 9 explains why you're to be put to death when you murder someone. In Genesis 9 verse 6, the Word of God says, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. Why? For in the image of God made he man. When you kill a human being, you have killed someone that was made in the image of God. That's the reason that man's life is more important than the life of dogs and cats and animals and plant life. One reason is because he's made in the image of God. I want you to remember that. Now go back to Genesis chapter 1, just a moment. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. There's a second reason that's mentioned and emphasized there, why human life is more important than plant life and other life. I want you to notice in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, the Word of God says, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Now listen carefully. And let them have dominion. What is dominion over something? Ruling over. Power over. Authority over. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. All these other things are less important than human life.
God has given man, God has given human life, dominion, power, authority over every other living thing on this earth. Plant and animal kingdom, man is superior to that. Man is above that. Man has dominion over everything else on this earth. Do you see the difference in human life and other life? Man is doing everything he can today, evil men. The devil is doing everything he can to equate human life with all these other forms of life. Did you know that? And did you know the theory of evolution is one of the best ways to try to equate human life with all these other... Well, we're just all living things. We all came from the same thing. That's a lie. We're not all the same. God created man in His image. God gave man dominion over every other living thing on this earth. Third thing, a third reason that man's life is more important than any other life is found in Genesis chapter 2. Come down to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. Genesis 2 verse 7, the Word of God says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground." Now listen carefully. "And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Let me tell you, when God created the animals, He didn't breathe the breath of God. When God created plant life, He didn't breathe Himself into the plants. He created the plants. He created the animals. But when God created man, I want you to see that man, God took man and breathed into him. It was the breath of God that brought life into man. And that makes man far superior to anything else living on this earth. Just want to establish to begin with, human life is far superior to any other kind of life. And you start taking human life, there's only one consequence, there's only one result that's going to come one way or another. There's one thing that's going to come from that, and that's death. Death. Men may not carry it out. Men are commanded to carry it out. But I'm telling you, God's going to carry out judgment when you kill, murder somebody. Because man is different than animals. Now, let's go away from just men in general. Let's get right down specifically to these little things that are in the mother's womb. Okay? These little what? Zygotes. That same thing as he goat or she goat. Okay. These little babies. You know, I just marvel at how the devil is so effective. When I was growing up, there was a word it was as bad as any other nasty word you can use. And it's a word that's used everywhere today. The woman is pregnant. You know, that's the term we use today. Pregnant. What sign of life do you get from that word pregnant? Huh? None. Now, on the other hand, let's go to somebody that's over 60, 70 years old, and you ask them, what did you say about a woman? You didn't, Sister Bryant, do you remember that you didn't ever say a woman was pregnant? Do you remember that? Yeah, that was something you said, a woman was with child. Brother Bud, you remember that? With child. Do you remember that you didn't say the word pregnant? Never said the word pregnant. But you would say the woman was with child. Or you would say the woman is carrying a what? Carrying a baby. Now, you know where those old fogies got all that terminology? They got it right out of the Word of God. Do you know where we came up with the terminology pregnant? It was the devil trying to get people to stop feeling and thinking that life in that mother is a child, a human being. And that's what it is. It's a human being. It's a child. So many women say, oh, I have the right and authority over my own body. Let me tell you, first of all, that child in that woman is not her body. It's two different bodies. It's two completely different human beings. They're not the same. And secondly, let me tell you, you don't have power and authority over your body. Your body does not belong to you. My body doesn't belong to me. It belongs to God. It is God that hath made us and not we ourselves. The Bible says we are not our own. We belong to God. Jesus paid for us. I don't have control over, I don't have authority, I don't have the right to do what I want to with my body. That is not my right. The Supreme Court and everybody else can say it's a right. It is not my right. God's Word declares it's not my right to do what I want to with my body. It's not my right to do what I want to do with your body. It's not a woman's right to do something with a baby that she has. born or unborn, it's a baby. It's a baby. I want you to remember that. Look now, let's look at God's Word. Let's just look at a couple of things in God's Word about what the Word of God. Now, we talked about what does the world. Let me caution you, don't use the word pregnant, okay? I hope we can get back to that. I know I have trouble with remembering to not say pregnant because I didn't understand why it was so wrong to say pregnant, but I'm telling you, I understand now. Do you understand now why it's wrong to say pregnant? It's because it's dehumanizing what's going on in that woman's life. And another term that we use today, it's a, what's a F-E-T-U-S? What's that? It's a what? A fetus. What is a fetus? I'm telling you, what kind of picture do you get when you think of fetus? A what? All right, just a few-pound baby. I don't think most of the world recognizes what a fetus is. I mean, they may theoretically be able to say, oh, well, it's a baby in the womb. Let me tell you, you need to get back to what God's Word calls that living creature in that mother's womb. Look in your Bibles at Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, it's all through the Old Testament and New Testament. The Word of God repeatedly calls a baby, not a fetus. It calls a baby in the mother's womb. Before it's born, it calls it, the woman is with child. It calls it a child. It calls it a baby. There was a bill that came up in our Congress this past year that would just require a woman to know one thing. Just require a woman to know that when she commits abortion, that she is hurting that baby. Now, does that seem unreasonable to you? If you don't think it hurts the baby, I've got some videos that I want you to look at. I have some videos of some babies that are being put to death. I have some videos, some sonograms of babies that are being killed. And you watch them when they're going through that abortion and you'll see their little mouths open up and just scream. Horrible things that go on in America, legalized by ungodly rulers over us. Matthew chapter 1, listen to what the Word of God calls those babies. Matthew 1 verse 18, the Word of God says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found, what are the next two words there? With child. You know, Sister April Mitchell, she is, you know what she is? Somebody tell me what she is. With child. That's right. Is she pregnant? Thank you. She's with child. You just, anybody that says she's pregnant? You say, wait a minute. She's with child. She has a baby in her. A baby. A real live baby. That little heart's beating. You look at a sonogram, you'll see his face, you'll see his eyes, you'll see his fingers, you'll see his toes. It's all there. It's just, his heart's beating. It's all there. It's a baby. A woman that's carrying a baby is with child. It's a child. How many of you would go along with killing little children? What do you think ought to be done to a person that kills a child? He ought to be put to death. And I could hang anybody. I could literally pull the rope to hang them. I could be the hangman for somebody that kills little children. Does everybody follow that? I'm talking about to carry out the judgment that God's Word calls. If it's proven that man's killed that child, I could pull the switch, I could pull the rope, I could do anything that needs to be done to put that person to death. God's Word says it ought to be done. If you value human life, you'll believe in capital punishment. Do you understand that? And if you value human life, you will despise abortion. And if you believe God's Word, you'll despise abortion. And if you don't believe God's Word, then you can go along with abortion. Nobody can believe the Bible and go along with abortion. Let's go, turn in your Bibles to Luke, just in your Bibles, just a moment, to Luke. Look at Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, listen to verse 41. Luke 1 verse 41. All I'm trying to do right now, I'm trying to lead up to something that's important for you to understand. Right now, can you tell me three reasons? Can you tell me three reasons that human life is more important than plant life and animal life? Can you tell me three reasons that human life is more important than what's one of them? All right, we're made in the image of God. What's the second one? All right, God gave us dominion over the fowl of the air. And what's the third reason? Okay, it has a soul. That's a fourth reason. What's another reason? God did what? God breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That is another good one, sister people. That's another one. Man has a soul. Okay? Now, Luke chapter 1, Mary and Elizabeth are coming together. And who was inside of Mary? Who was inside of Mary? No. Listen again. Who was inside of Mary? Jesus. Who was inside Elizabeth? John the Baptist, right? Now, these two women come together, and they're both pregnant, right? No, thank you. Some would say, yes. No, no, they're not pregnant. What are they? They're both with child. And they're both with child, and they come together, and they start talking. And I want you to follow what the Word of God says here. In Luke chapter 1, verse 41, the Word of God says, and it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe, the what? Not the fetus, the what? Now you say, babe, what do you get a picture of here? A baby, right? The babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Come down to verse 44. For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation, this is what Elizabeth is saying, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. I want you to learn two things from this one verse of Scripture, Luke 1 verse 44. First of all, John the Baptist, who was in that womb, heard what Mary said. Did you know babies in the womb, did you know they hear what goes on? You let a daddy be yelling at the mama, that baby hears what's going on. You let friction be going on in the home, that baby hears what's going on. You let peaceful, good times be going on, that baby is affected by the noise. You know why? They have ears. They have eardrums. They can hear. Did John the Baptist hear what Mary said? And they not only have ears and eyes and all these other parts, they have emotions. This baby that was in Elizabeth, this baby, when he heard the salutation that Mary gave, the Bible says this baby that wasn't Elizabeth. Now, Elizabeth was happy, but the baby leaped for joy in the mother's womb. That baby was full of joy. The baby was full of the Holy Ghost while he was still in his mother's womb. He was happy. He was rejoicing about Jesus coming into the world. Oh, little children, are they important to God? They better be important to me and you too. I love my 8 grandchildren. I'll tell you, I just love them to death. I can just eat them up in the right way. You know what I'm talking about. Just, they're precious to me. They're precious to me. Now, they were precious to me before I ever saw them. Did you know that? Oh, we prayed for them. All of you, if you've got grandchildren, you prayed for them before they were ever born, didn't you? They were real babies. Now, don't you call my grandchild a fetus. It's not a fetus, it's a baby. Okay, does everybody follow that a baby has feelings and emotions? Now, what if the baby is deformed? What if the baby is deformed? Now, of course, if a baby is deformed in the mother's womb, let's talk just a few minutes about reasons that Christians give that abortions are okay, okay? Let's talk just a minute about that. Here's what a lot of so-called Christians say are reasons for abortion. First of all, they'll say, you know, rape, if a woman's raped, they'll say, I don't believe in abortion except in cases of rape. Let me tell you something. Rape is wrong. You know, I'm talking about pulling a rope. I can pull a rope against a man that commits rape, too. Rape is wrong. And a man ought to be put to death for raping a woman. But that baby that comes from that, if a baby is formed, that baby in that womb is being formed by God. And don't you ever go along with abortion being all right for rape. Or incest. I don't care if a father and his daughter have sexual relations. If a baby, let the father be put to death, but that baby should not be put to death. Does everybody follow that? You know who's forming that baby in the mother's womb? You know who's forming that baby? God is the one forming that baby. Now, we say rape, incest, or the life of the mother. And any honest doctor will tell you that the life of the mother, you don't kill a baby to save the life of the mother. Now, What about a baby that's deformed? Let's talk about that just a minute. You know, now they do a lot of testing to see if the baby's all right. They do, is it amniocentesis or I don't know all the words. It doesn't matter. They do a lot of testing. See, okay, is the baby all right? Okay, I'm sorry. The baby has Down syndrome. And let me just say this about babies with Down syndrome. I'll tell you, some of the most wonderful, perfect human beings I've known were children that had Down syndrome. I think the most angelic people I've ever known in my life were not what we call normal, but had Down syndrome. Did you know that? But you're going to kill them because they have Down syndrome? You're going to kill them because they have some kind of deformity or some kind of problem? Well, you're just following exactly what the devil would have you to do. Don't you ever go along with abortion for rape or incest or the life of the mother or the deformity of a child. Don't you ever, ever, ever go along with abortion. Poor old Moses, he was deformed. Did y'all know that? Poor old Moses. Was Moses deformed? Moses, now. Let's go back. Go back to Exodus. Turn in your Bibles. I want to see, is it all right to abort a baby if he's deformed? Exodus chapter 4. Look at this just a minute, please. Exodus chapter 4. Listen to verses 10 and 11. We're talking about human life is more important than any other kind of life. We're talking about the fact that you and I need to understand that a woman that is carrying a baby, we need to say she's with child or she's carrying a baby. That's in that woman needs to be called a baby or a child. And now we're looking at the fact that abortion is not all right for rape, incest, for the life of the mother, or deformity of the child. Listen to Exodus chapter 4. Listen to verses 10 and 11. Exodus 4, verse 10. What if a baby is born blind? Would it be all right to go ahead and kill that one in the womb? Or deaf. Maybe the baby's deaf. It's all right to kill that baby. Exodus chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. The Word of God says this is where God called Moses to lead the children of Israel into the land of wilderness. Exodus chapter 4, verse 10. The Word of God says, and Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since I have spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Who made Moses' mouth? Did Moses have a speech problem? Did he think that was a good reason for him not to lead the children of Israel? Was it a good reason for him not to lead the children of Israel? No. God chose him to lead the children of Israel. Was it a good reason for his parents to kill him because he had a speech problem? No. Who hath made man's mouth? You hear the question God asks Moses? Who hath made man's mouth? Now listen. Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? What's God asking Moses? Who made the blind? Who made the deaf? He says, have not I the Lord? You see what God says to Moses right there? It doesn't matter if a child is born deaf or blind. In fact, in John chapter 9, the Word of God talks about a child that was brought to Jesus, and the people said, who hath sinned that this child was born blind? This man or his parents? Well, and Jesus says, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the power of God might be manifest. Listen, brethren, little deformed children, you'll see the power of God manifest in those children's lives. Don't you ever go along with abortion for deformity of a child. Who made that child exactly the way it is? God did. Do you understand? Do you understand why a child's born blind? Do you understand why a child's born deaf? Do you understand why a child is born with Down syndrome or any other deformity? Do you understand? You've got the answer to all those questions. I've got a lot of people I'll send to you. I don't have the answers, but I know this. I know my God made those children. I know my God made those babies. And I know my God never makes a mistake. And my God has a purpose in everything He does. Isn't that what God's telling Moses? I made man. I made your mouth. I made people that are blind. I made people that are deaf. And I have a purpose in everything I do. You think the power of God was manifest because Moses could start leading the children of Israel in spite of his speech impediment? You think the power of God was manifest? I think so. Let me just in closing say one more thing. And we don't have time to go to all the scriptures, but I want to mention just a couple of them. I want you to go home and read. There are several scriptures, but I want you to think about this one truth. In fact, I think that in closing, we'll go to Proverbs. Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter, let me see if I can, no, let's go to Psalms. There are a lot of different ones, but Proverbs, let me tell you, in Proverbs, in Proverbs 6, verses 16 and 17, there are seven things that God hates. Listen carefully. There are seven things God hates. There are seven things the Bible says God hates. And one of the things that the Bible says God hates is anybody who sheds innocent blood. That's one of the things God hates. You know what happens every time an abortion takes place? Innocent blood is being shed. Go with me now to Psalm, and we'll close in Psalm 94. But I want you to look at this. Psalm 94, listen please. In Psalm 94, listen to verses 20 and 21. Did you know, listen carefully, did you know we framed mischief by a law when we legalized abortion? I want to say it one more time. I want somebody to tell me what I mean. We framed mischief when we allowed a law to be passed that abortion is legal in the United States of America. How did we frame mischief by allowing that to take place? Babies are being killed, all right? And you look at God's Word now, Psalm 90. Look at Psalm 94. Psalm 94, listen to verses 20 and 21. The Word of God says, shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee? If a throne, if a kingdom, if a king, if a president, if a Supreme Court, if they frame iniquity, if they promote iniquity, will they have fellowship with God? No. Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by law? You see what he's saying? Shall a throne of iniquity that forms and frames mischief by law, will they have fellowship with God? Listen to verse 21. They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemn the innocent blood. You know what we did when we, in 1973, when we passed and legalized abortion in the United States? We framed mischief by law and okayed the shedding of innocent blood. God will not hold him guiltless who sheds innocent blood. As God's people, you and I had better take a stand against abortion. Don't you ever be silent. I thank God that we have one member of the church that the whole focus of his life is to stand against abortion. If you've never stood outside an abortion clinic, if you've never watched women going in to have babies slaughtered, you need to see Brother Robert Barn before you leave here today. You need to see Brother Robert, and you need to set up a time, because he goes and he stands every week at those abortion clinics. He stands against abortion more than anybody that I know, more than any person on this earth. That man has fought to save the lives of unborn children, and he has saved the lives of unborn children. By the grace of God, he has intervened, and women have changed their mind because of the work he is doing. He's to be highly commended. And any of us that don't speak out and speak up for the life of unborn children, take stands for the lives of unborn children, we're going to suffer under the judgments of God for that. Now, I've got scriptures to prove everything I'm saying to you. If you don't take a stand against abortion, you're going to be judged by God for you knowing that abortion goes on, but you keep your mouth shut. God's going to judge you for that. May God help us all to realize the horrors of abortion, that the life, human life, is being killed every time abortion takes place. May God help us, is my prayer for Christ's sake.